ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
John chapter 4 from verse 20. So today is Worship Sunday, and I want to explain God's word to us. Now, many of us have probably only known worship as singing and responding. Are you with me? We've only known worship as when you play. If you ask the average person, what is worship? They say it is slow music. Then what's rhythm and blues? It's slow too, right? Worship is not necessarily slow songs. Praise is not necessarily fast songs. That's not necessarily what it is. Worship, I'm so happy to see everybody like, oh my God, look at you. Anyways, the backdrop of this story in John chapter 4 is, help me honor those online, say welcome to church, want to go. John chapter 4 verse 20. The backdrop of this John chapter 4 is Jesus went, he sent his disciples to go and look for what they'll eat, and then Jesus was sitting at the well. And then there was a woman that came to Jesus. And Jesus looked at the woman. Please pay attention, everybody. Please, except you are taking notes with your phone or whatever, please don't be on your phone. That I also want to implore you to take notes, because the faintest handwriting lasts longer than the what? Sharpest memory. So please take notes. Amen. So Jesus went. And what a lot of people know about this story is only that the woman had 5 husbands. That's all a lot of people think when they think about the story. But I think one thing is very important. She said, when Jesus said, where's your husband? And then she said, she's not. She said, but you have 5 husbands, and the one you are with now is not the real G. And then Jesus, the woman now said, I perceive you are a prophet. And then she had questions that she began to ask. She said, okay, I have a question. Anyways, let's read. It said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Let's start, go, let me verse 18. Let's start from 18. Let's see if we can get the context of this. Okay, 19. I've talked about this. Verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Next verse. He says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Next verse. We're going to verse 24. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me now. Hold on. Before we go into this, when you read verse 20, what exactly? Please pay attention. When you read verse 20, what was the woman's question? Where to worship, right? Or where is the right common tea? Are you guys with me at all? What was the woman's question? The right place to worship, right? Uh-huh. He now said, she said, where is the right place? Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So, hold on. Jesus is telling her that neither what the Jews said nor what the Samaritans said is the permanent place of worship. Because the Jews said that Jerusalem was the place, but the Samaritans said that that mountain was the place. But Jesus, you know when children are fighting over things, and then have you babysat children before? You now realize that children are cute when they are not your own. Yeah. They are cute when they are not your own. And when you don't hear their voice, when you hear their voice, they are making noise. When you don't hear their voice, they are planning to unalive themselves. Because they are either chewing live wire, or they just like the way the sparks is looking. You know, so 2 children are fighting, and then he said, the one child says, it's my own. The other child says, no, it's my own. And they keep dragging. You say, you know what? Give me. 2 of you go fight. That's what Jesus did here. He said, Jerusalem, mountain, none. He said, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Next verse. Now, we're looking at this verse because a lot of people use this verse when they want to talk about worship, but the understanding of this verse is wrong. 22. We love the word of God in TC, right? He said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the who? Jews. Next verse. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So hold on. Look at what Jesus said here first. He said the hour is coming, and the hour what? Now is. It means that the period where the Father is seeking for those who worship him in spirit and truth, that period will come and be fulfilled. That hour will no longer be coming. Come on, do you get what I'm saying? That hour will no longer be coming. That hour will be what? Fulfilled. So, if this is true, it means that this search is not going to be present continuous forever. This search is going to have a period where it will be fulfilled. And if this has been fulfilled, it means that I'm not supposed to come before you when we are singing songs and saying, the Father is seeking. Is that true? I'm not supposed to come before you and say, the Father is seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth, because Jesus said the hour is coming. A matter of fact, the hour now is. Where the Father where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such that worship. Let me see verse 24. He said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and truth. First of all, if you follow what Jesus said here, TC, are you with me? John 4. The word "and" here is the word "kai," is the Greek word "kai." Now, usually, the Greek word "kai" was not just used as a conjunction. It was mostly used as a word that was used, not all the time, but was mostly used as a word to explain another word. Or it was, let me give you an example. When the Bible says, the Lord and Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, it's not saying he is Lord, then Father. It's saying that the Lord is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, when he said the God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, actually worshiping God in spirit was true worship. Come on, are you with me? There is no worship in the spirit that is untrue, but worship in the spirit is the what? True worship. Now, we will see why Jesus said this. Give me Philippians chapter 3. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. We will never, never. Come on. We know there's more. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you.
Time.
We will never, never,
we will never,
never, question. Who is Paul speaking about here? When he says we, who is he talking about? Believers, right? So does the we then cover you today? He says, for we are the circumcision. Who worship God how? See, are you aware that Paul did not say, when Paul said this, Paul was quoting what Jesus was literally saying. So Jesus said, the time is coming and the time now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. But Paul does not say the Father is seeking when he comes to us. When he comes to us, because of what the Father has done, we are the ones who are the true worshipers. Come on, do you get this? We are the ones who... So, we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. I'll come back to the latter part of this verse. But say, I am of the circumcision. And when Paul says the circumcision here, he's using what the Jews usually meant, which was, the Jews were the elect people of God. But right now, we who are in Christ are the elect of the Lord. We are God's own people. And we are not the people... So when you come before a believer and you tell the believer, you need to worship in spirit, it's not correct. Because the believer is in spirit. The Bible says you are in the spirit, except that the spirit of God does not dwell in you in Romans. Are you with me? Except that the spirit of God does. So being in the spirit is not the mood for me, it's where I live. Come on, are you here? It's where I live. So I am of the circumcision and I worship God how? In the spirit. Now, what changed between when Jesus said that and Paul's time? His death, burial, and resurrection. Come on, are you with me? This verse basically tells us one thing. What Jesus was saying has been fulfilled. Is that true? Is that true? Go back again, please, to John chapter 4. We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Now, if Paul now says who worship God in the spirit, going from what we got from John 4:24, it means that we are the ones who worship in truth. Right? John 4 emoji. John 4. Come on, are you learning anything? Give me from verse 22. He said, you worship... Okay, let's see 23. He said, but that... You know, I think it's even interesting that Jesus says salvation is of the Jews when talking about this same verse. And then Paul in Philippians 3:3 now says we are the circumcision. So he's starting from what Jesus was saying. Come on, are you here? He's starting from what Jesus is saying. He's saying we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. He says, but the hour is coming and now is. Say, I'm the fulfillment of this. When the true worshipers... We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What Jesus is trying to say is all the worship that had existed before then was not the true. Come on, are you learning anything? All the worship that they had done before then was not the true worship. How exactly did they worship? Genesis 22 verse 5. It says, Genesis 22 5. It says, let's read it. Genesis 22 5. Genesis 22:5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and do what? Come on, guys, are you here? The lad and I will do what? Go yonder and what? And we will come back to you. Let me ask you a question. When they said they were going to worship, were they going to sing? What exactly were they going to do? So what was worship in that context? Sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3, talking about Hannah's husband, Hannah and Penina, their husband. They had a man who went to, I don't know if it's Shiloh or Shiloh. They went to S-H-I-L-O-H, right? They went there and then they, yes, thank you. This man went up from his city yearly to what? And you couldn't separate both. Guys, are you here? You couldn't separate both. So go back to John chapter 4, verse 23. John 4, 23. So it means that Abraham worshiped the God with what? Worshiped God with what? Sacrifice. Hannah's husband worshiped the Lord with what? Sacrifice. It means that it was a common thing that there was no worship without sacrifice. So he said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will what? Worship the Father. So it means that the worship they had been doing before was not true worship. But there was some form of worship. And what exactly was that worship? Offering of sacrifices. That was the worship that was being done. But it was not true worship. Let me tell you how. I don't know how I skipped adding this in my notes. Give me the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. I think it's 7. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Let's see verse 4. Hebrews 10, 4. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Next verse. Next, let's go. Give me verse 10. Verse 10. I'm missing something. I wish I opened it. Okay. Let's check it. Let's see verse 5. Let's read from verse 5. He said, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Hold on. What this means is that the body that Jesus had was not for any other thing, but for sacrifice. Do you get this? Next verse. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had what? No pleasure. Let me see the next verse. He now said, then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Quick one. When Jesus said that he came to do the will of the Father, the will of the Father was for him to die. So the will of the Father was to give up that body in death for your sin. Next verse. There's one I'm looking for. Yes, this is what I'm looking for. Previously saying, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offering and offering for sin, you did not desire nor have what? Pleasure in them. Pleasure in them. Go back to John 4:23. Now, it says that the blood of bulls and goats, God did not have pleasure in them. It means that the blood of bulls and goats were not sufficient enough for what the blood of Jesus was supposed to do. But the blood of bulls and goats were a pointer to what he was supposed to do. Are you getting me now? But he said, now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Quick one. If the Father did not have pleasure in the blood of bulls and goats, it means that the worship that they practiced in sacrificing bulls and goats was what? Not the true worship. Come on, are you with me? And the opposite of true here is not exactly false. The opposite of true here means that what they practiced was the type. Come on, are you with me? What they practiced was the sketch. What we practice is the fullness. Come on, are you with me? It was a good sermon. It was a series, I thought. So what they had was sketches. What they have was not true worship. It was a type. But we, come on, are you here? We who, remember, between what Jesus said and what Paul said, what was the difference? The blood of Jesus. So because of the blood of Jesus, our worship is what? True. Our worship is the fullness. Our worship is what they hoped they could offer God. He said, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and what? In truth. When he says in spirit, quick one. Why do you think the blood of bulls and goats could not offer the Father? Because blood of bulls and goats, they were entities in time. It was only an entity from eternity that could appease a wrath from eternity. Come on, are you here? It was only an entity from eternity that could appease a wrath. That's why the righteousness that will please God has to be the righteousness that he gives to you. Has to be the righteousness that he gives to you. He said, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Next verse. 24, sir. It says, God is spirit. Blood of bulls and goats are flesh. Come on, TC, are you here? Blood of bulls and goats are what? Flesh. But God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The worship that is going to be acceptable to God has to be worship that is fit from his realm. TC, are you with me? Are you with me? Doc, we can calm down now. Thank you, sir. Has to be worship that is from his realm. Now, look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, in bringing all of that together, one thing we know is, if I tell you that, now, like I said, a lot of people have misunderstood that verse. So they say, worship him in spirit and truth. So they say, sing to God. Anybody can sing. Anybody can sing. But if it is not, any attitude of worship that is not piggybacking off the blood is not true worship. Do you get what I'm saying? Any attitude of worship that is not springing from the blood is not true worship. They worshipped in the Old Testament, but it was a type. We worship from the death of Jesus, so it is true worship. Look at this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Guys, are you here? That you present, let's read this like a mass choir. One, two, go. Yes. Which is your reasonable service? I like the way the NLT puts this. Please give me the NLT. But let's wait for the NLT. I don't want to go ahead of myself. Give me the NLT, sir. NLT. New Living Translation. NLT. Look at this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has what? Done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So he says, look at what Paul is telling us now. He says, I plead with you to give your bodies because of what he has done. So when KJV says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, he's basically saying, in lieu of the mercies of God, in view of what Jesus has done for you. Come on, TC, are you with me? In view of what the mercy of God has made available, present yourself. That is true worship. TC, are you here? In view of what the mercy of God has made available, present yourself. So, and I like the way KJV also put it. He says, this is your reasonable service. See, when you think about all Jesus has done for you, it only makes sense to present yourself. I saw an analogy that an amazing man of God used, and I'm going to not steal, borrow it. Praise the Lord. So, got married earlier this year. Thank you. Celebrate God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, we went to her household. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then they gave us a list. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, this one. We gave all the givings. Praise God. Mm-hmm. We did not elope, lest a curse. Anyways, they gave us everything, and then we dropped it in exchange of plucking the flower. That's how they say it. Shala, calm down. You're single. So we dropped all, as anointed as I am. They said, name of the Father, and the Son. And I laid down with all the oil, the nationric oil. Are you getting me now? They said, I should lay down. I say, if I be a man, anyways. So I laid down, you know. The way my wife was crying that wedding day, you think I used to beat her? She was just crying. You say, are you really happy? So, anyways, so we laid down. They gave everything. Now, this, it may not be exactly a perfect analogy, but pay attention to this. Because I had given due diligence, I took her to my house. Are you getting me? I mean, I took her from the village, Northampton. to Birmingham. Help me celebrate God. Praise the Lord. El Posco is NN12. What kind of, it doesn't matter. I'm the one with the mic. So now, if I brought her to my house, right, it is, now I'm talking of in a strictly transactional context. Because of, in view of all the things we paid, in view of all the laying on the floor with all my friends that have made profits, we all laid. In view of everything, it is only reasonable that she then loves me. She does not love me because I paid everything. It is reasonable that because of all I have done to show my true intentions, she then loves me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, piggybacking that off what we are saying, in view of what Jesus has done, it is reasonable. See, when you think of the fact that you owed a debt you could not pay, you were on your way to damnation, and somebody came and told you, oh yeah, go back. He shed, the Creator became his creation. God became a man. You who were destined for wrath and destruction, right? The only one whose blood could appease, because the wages of sin is what? Death. Scarcely will for a righteous man some will die. And even for a good man, some will even dare to die. He said, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The man on the middle cross said, you should come. Come on, are you with me? So when we think about all that he has done, it only makes sense that I serve him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Perfect. Let's start from verse 15, please. TC, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We love the word of God, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Now, Paul is teaching you this, making a logical conclusion. He said, and that he died for all. That those who live should... And that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and did what? Rose again. He's saying that if he died for you, it only makes sense that your existence is for him. Next verse. He said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Next verse. He said, therefore, please pay attention. So look at this. He says, if he died for all, then we what? Live for him. Are you here? If he died for all, we live for him. On that premise, he now says, therefore. So when you see therefore, you need to know what it is. Therefore. He now says, therefore. So on the premise of verse 15, he now says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this verse is very easy to pick it out and say, I'm the new man in Christ. But there's an implication to that. If we look at the context, the implication to being a new man means your old ambitions are washed away. Come on, are you here? It means that your old ambitions are washed away. You no longer live for yourself. You live for he who died for you and rose again. That's exactly what it means by being a new creation. It means that the moment you believed, there were things that were expected of you. Have you? Imagine someone just comes to you, for example, and says, I want to give you a house. You don't know the person. I want to give you a house. You are so grateful. Thank you. You roll on the floor. Big ups. The person walks away. The person now comes back again. I want to give you a car. The person walks away. Person now comes. You want to get married. Say, I will finance your wedding and put you on a salary for 12 months. You ask the person, are you after my destiny? Tell me the truth. What's going on? Are you looking for where to share your blood money? Let me know. That's the conversation you have with the person, right? It is the same in this case. It is only reasonable that we live for the one who died for us. And piggybacking off the blood, that is worship. I'm going to give you a definition. Worship is anything we do that shows ourselves as sold out to the one who died for us. Worship is anything we do that shows ourselves as sold out for the one who died for us. Is anything we do that shows ourselves as what? Sold out for the one who did what? Who died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. So, everything that we do, the lifting up of our hands, the bowing of our hearts, they are piggybacking off the blood. Are you with me? They are piggybacking off the blood. So, oh, Matala Vani Kasuria. You will not, having explained this verse, a verse of scripture can never mean what it never meant, right? It means that you can no longer ever, in fact, part of worship is what the word of God says. I hold it as what the word of God says. It means that you can no longer pick end this verse and use it away from the way it is properly explained. So when we sing, singing is piggybacking off the blood. When we dance, it is piggybacking off the blood. What you claim to believe about God must be piggybacked of the blood. I mean, there are many other places that the Bible uses the word worship. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 14, 25 says, if you come in and then, if the person comes in and you're prophesying, and then the person, the secrets of his heart are being made manifest. And then if the secrets of his heart are being made manifest, he will bow down in worship and say, God is truly amongst you. Revelation 22, 8. Revelation 22, 8. He says, I saw the heavenly one and I bowed in worship. It means that worship is also seen in posture. Come on, TC, are you here? Worship is seen in posture. I will land on this verse. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Acts 17:23. Are you there? Let's just have everybody prepare. Acts 17:23. It said, for I was passing through, this is Paul speaking, and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without what? Knowing him, I proclaim to you. Let me see 24. There's something I'm looking for. Okay, go back. Let me see it in NLT, 23. Let me see 23 in NLT. I wanna emphasize something there. It said, for I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of the altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. One translation puts it this way. It said, as I was walking, I saw your acts of devotion. What this verse basically means is, acts of devotion are obvious. Acts of devotion are obvious. And that's why your worship may be in the spirit, but it is obvious. And listen, worship in the spirit has nothing to do with physical motions. Remember, when the Bible says in the spirit, it's not talking of what you do, it's talking of where you are. So the Bible says that know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans, he said that you are in the spirit, except that the Holy Ghost is not in you. So if the Holy Ghost is in me, I am in the spirit. The spirit is not a mood, is not a feeling, is where I am. Come on, are you here? Is where I am. So, if I'm worshiping in the spirit, everything I do in honor to God as the man in Christ is worship. I've heard many people, especially with the sexual ethic of our day, they say, why can't you just sleep with whoever you like? Why are you putting boundaries? I remember someone in church was telling me how he was talking to someone and he was saying how, oh, he and his girlfriend don't live together. And then the person was like, that's old school. Nobody does that anymore. It's fine. It's actually okay. It's you can. But because of my worship, come on, TC, are you here? You can. But because of my worship, because of the one who died for me and rose again, are you here? Because of the one who died for me and rose again, I will present my body, and that is a reasonable worship. It only makes sense in view of all Jesus has done. The times my wife offends me, she always offends me. I never offend her. I'm the one with the mic. Praise the Lord. I got a lie for you. That's my source. Now, I assure you, those times, I don't want to talk to her. But in view of the mercies of God, I say, have fun. Let's talk. Oh, yeah, sorry. No, marriage is where if you are right, you are still wrong. Amen. You say, yeah? Because at the end of the day, fighting doesn't pay any of us. So let's just be in peace. I laugh at our jokes. Amen. So, why can't you date an unbeliever? In view of the mercies of God, I present my body. What kind of God worries about your sexual ethic? Does God care what I do in my bedroom? In view of the mercy of God, I present my body. Let me touch a sore subject now. I'm a feminist. I believe the Bible is biased and patriarchal. Why should a woman submit? In view of the mercies of God. Why can't you just scam somebody anything to make money in view? Why can't you use curse words? Everybody curses. It's not just going to be you. In view. It is only reasonable. Why can't you dress how you like? Be a slay queen. In a Christian body. Somebody put up, he said she did Christian BBL. I say, you joke. A Bethlehem lift, praise the Lord. It's Bethlehem. Say Christian. I say, why do we joke a lot? Let me tell you something. See, serving Jesus will cost you a lot. I assure you, if anybody told you that once you serve Jesus, all your finances will open up, they lied to you. Permit me to tell you, they categorically, without a shadow of it, I'm putting my feet in that oil. They lied to you. In fact, biblically speaking, people lost things because they were serving this God. Anita, I feel like I say you don't lose a lot. People lost things because they were serving God. And that's why maybe the Lord brought that song to my spirit. We will never settle for less. Because the truth is, anything I gain, I lose for the Lord is gain compared to, the kingdom of God is gain compared to what I lost. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here. If you don't send me pictures once in a while, how can I prove that you love me? In view. If you don't put it down once in a while, how can I prove you love me? In view. How can I know my body responds to you? Let's laugh, but it happens. How can I know my body responds to you if you don't show workings once in a while? In view. It says, oh, how? If the person now says, you need to prove that point, you say by faith. Abraham believed. You need to believe it. As you are standing now, you're asking, is your body not responding? How much more without garments? In view. We might be joking, but listen. As a child of God, the summation and summary of our lives is in view of what he has done. I remember every time I speak with people, I say, I don't cuss. I don't get drunk. I don't take drugs. I don't do all these things. They say it's impossible. You know, usually the question is, what is your vice? Or they'll say, what is your cruise? Is there any other lingo? Kara, what's the Gen Z one? Tofu, me calm down. They say, what is your vice? What's your cruise? What's your something? So what do you do for fun? I speak in tongues. So, listen, in bad times and in good times, I live in view. When he's walking, when he's not walking, I live in view. So the reason I don't do some things others don't do, and this thing is, it's beyond right and wrong. It even goes to the matter of expedient. Is it expedient or not? So it may not even be wrong, but if I do it at this time, it is wrong. Or at this time, it is not as great as it should be. Come on, are you guys with me? In view. We live in view. There's a way I don't talk. When I'm angry, there's a way I don't respond. Listen, why do you come to church early? In view. Why do you go to church every Sunday? In view. Why do you pray all the time? In view. Why won't I talk to the one who died for me? It's down to the little things. See, crossover will be amazing. So listen, how you live your life, how you work on the earth must be in view. It's not even just in the talk, in the listening, it's in how you live, how you talk, how you think. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. So even the words of my heart, they must mean something. When they are laid bare before the Lord, they must be honorable to him. So how I live my life is like oil broken at his feet. It's like oil broken at his feet. It's like oil. The reason I will not do some things is because I'm living in view of the one who died for me, and I will honor him. I will honor him with my words. I will honor him with my conduct. I will honor him with my everything. I don't have to act out everything I feel. God's word is always right. I can be wrong. God's word is always right. I can be wrong. Why do I honor my parents even when they don't feel like it? Listen, I'm talking to someone here. Maybe you have parents who don't feel like they need honor. You don't honor them because they deserve honor. You honor them because they are your parents. And whether you think they don't deserve it or not, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long and it will be well with you. If you are working here, you must send something to your parents every month. Please, media team, I hope you are listening to me with conversations on that table. Are you listening to me? You must. Kingsley left them alone. He said, don't do it. If you are working here, you must honor your parents every month. Honor is material. It's material. You must not say you are such a blessing. Mm-mm. And you don't honor them because they need it. You honor them because it is honor. Can I tell you something? Some people, their days will not be long and it will not be well with them. Not because of anything, but because they didn't honor. So I look at my life through the lens in view of all Jesus has done. So they say, it doesn't make sense that you don't smoke. You say it is reasonable that in view of all he has done, it makes sense that I will not desecrate my body. That I don't pay somebody to do my dissertation. In view. I don't get to work and sign the time I did not come in. In view. Are you with me now? Laugh like it's not you I'm talking to. Laugh. I don't at the slightest inconvenience not come to church. In view. Next year is a prophetic year for us. Are we ready to run? I'm excited. First of all, what I'm going to wear tonight is prophetic. Emphasis on the thick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. Nelson Hagan Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/Nelson Ihiagwa. And for contact details, follow on Instagram @Nelson Ihiagwa. God bless you.